On the phone with me once again is 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning and welcome to spring.
Absolutely. It is starting to be nicer around the area. Still a little cold, still some rain coming down, but the temperatures are warming up at least a little bit better.
Well, Grays Harbor is always welcoming, and it is, in fact, spring. I was there last weekend in Aberdeen. I wanted to make sure, Kyle, to let your listeners know that this Saturday I do have a town hall. It is at the Aberdeen Senior Center on Market Street there. The town hall is from 10 a.m. to 11:30 or longer if it needs to go. I really look forward to, having your listeners and members of the community come in. We can talk about the legislative process, session today. Then it's my favorite time because I get to ask, I get to be asked questions, Kyle. So this Saturday, Town Hall, Senior Center.
Hopefully there is a good turnout and a lot of really good questions because we are in the legislative process right now. I mean, within the session, there could be things that maybe you haven't thought of or other your seatmates and those in the 19th haven't thought of. So an opportunity to hear directly from the people and see if there's something that maybe there's something that has slipped through the cracks. So always good to hear from the public.
You know, Kyle, and that does happen. The way things are right now may not be the way things are going to end up here when we adjourn the session here coming very soon. We're only 30-some days left in the session. At sine die, we'll end us here probably at the very end of April. But our process continues. This week, we're going to be headed back to floor action. That's very important as we actually begin to vote on each other's bills on our prospective houses. That's always going to be interesting as committees wrap up. And yesterday, Kyle, I had a great opportunity to visit one of our seatmates in a committee at the House yesterday, one of my final bills.
Run into that a little bit. I mean, which bill are we talking about?
Well, believe it or not, it is a gun bill. My Senate Bill 5436 was heard yesterday in the House Committee on Civil Justice, and it was the bill is basically allows museums or historical societies to receive gifts or loaned non-serviceable firearms for display. And you would think that, well, I've been to a museum before and I've seen a display where they've had say firearms from different times of our country's history on display. And that kind of cooled down a little bit with the passage of I-594 years ago, which talked about background checks for guns. Well, the problem with loaning or giving a museum a firearm for display or just a gifted is that museums aren't people where you would be able to do a background check. So my bill exempts the transfer of these firearms from having to do a background check. And when the museum is done with it or would like to sell it, if they'd like to end that process, then they have to return it through a licensed dealer. And Kyle, I will say there is no risk to the public as there's never been an incident involving a historical display item from a museum used in, say, something for bad activities. But there are some gun bills that are coming over from the House that we probably will hear on the floor, and that could include House Bill 1240 or 1143. Both of those bills, to my opinion, are not necessarily favorable to your gun rights, and unless we can amend these or adjust in some way, I really think the state is placing a lot of emphasis on the firearm itself versus the person responsible for using the firearm.
It is, how to have that middle ground is, I think, the crux of the discussion of how do we make sure that criminals are made sure that they can't do damage to others and cause these issues, but then also not penalizing the legal people doing it is, I mean, it's been a long-standing question and a concern for years, and that's where a lot of the issues seem to have arisen.
Absolutely, Kyle. It's no secret that the Second Amendment is incredibly important, you know, to be respected here in the legislature. I know that we have at times good intent, but our legislative activities seem to go after the wrong areas at time, and we already have strict gun bills in place, and that's a good thing. However, it's not. Is it making a difference? And I'll offer up, if we talk about the sad news for the state, it's not even the gun violence that's got me most concerned in the state. That's something we need to keep an eye on. But Kyle, already year to date, King County has nearly doubled their overdose deaths this year. There's 272 overdose deaths in King County this year, which is well over the previous record. So this is about a 33% increase in the county's previous high that had happened. And people are dying. And over half of those deaths, well over half, as much as 75%, is due to fentanyl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are having more funerals for Washingtonians and human beings for drug overdoses than we are of any other source of death, especially firearms, which seem to grab the headlines. But the legislature, we do need to find a stance on drugs, Kyle. It's gone way too far. Is this to be the number one killer of any of us? That should be a priority legislative effort, including such awesome things like treatment and confrontation of people in order to get them the help they need before they turn into another fatality statistic.
I did see that you and your 19th district seatmates were just in Aberdeen. I mean, you have done numerous kind of cleanup efforts and different things in the area. I mean, once again, kind of coming in and looking at these, looking at the area and picking up needles, and I don't think it's any secret that this is an issue, I would imagine, as much here in Aberdeen as it is in Port Angeles, as it is in Longview. It doesn't seem to be going away.
Actually, it seems to be going on the increasing side when it comes to, we know that drug use has to be increasing because, again, I've mentioned, Kyle, people are injuring themselves, and of course, more deaths than we've ever seen before. We continue to break records. When I was in Aberdeen last weekend, and yes, I do. I actually get a chance to walk around some areas and, you know, pick up as much trash as I can. You know, litter is everywhere in the state, and I'm not going to tie that into homeless. I can tie that into any place along our state highways and roadways. Anybody can notice the large amounts of garbage that just litters our beautiful state. When I was in Aberdeen, though, I also got to see the downside. There were parts of the area where I encountered, and I'm going to say, not just one used syringe, but literally hundreds, Kyle. Hundreds and hundreds. And these used syringes do not belong discarded in the community. It's not good with the use of fentanyl and even coming in contact with any of that. We know that the new enemy, fentanyl, is not yesterday's heroin. It's an improved killer. And yet, I was disappointed that this weekend, of course, I was easily able to find, like I say, excessive amounts of syringes, and every single one of them needs to be picked up and put in its proper place. But Kyle, there's not enough time where I can succeed in this. And in fact, I'm telling my observations based on the last 5 years of doing this in, say, Grays Harbor is it's not getting any better. And we need to do that. So I think that we need to refocus the way that we engage those that are troubled with addiction and trapped in that ugly lifestyle of addiction. We need to have some form of state intervention, and the legislature needs to do that with confrontational fixes, like including the Blake decision that is now in the House to see what they do with it, Kyle. We have to wait and see.
We are seeing some of these bills that are they're talking about this, of course, like a fix here, a fix there, giving some a little more leniency to police, fixing some of those issues that have been troubling us really for years. But how does this what are we doing to actually address it? I mean, what bills are we doing that would make this, instead of giving a little bit more leniency or covering maybe a slight fix, what are we doing to actually make some impacts in this?
Well, we made a little progress, Kyle, and I'm not gonna proclaim this morning that we made enough. We did move the needle, but we had much more to go. The Blake fix is we left that bill, and I don't have the bill number in front of me, as we sent that bill back over to the House. We did increase a number of things. We went back to gross misdemeanor versus misdemeanor in some aspects, and we did tie in some actual jail time. But the problem is the first initial confrontations usually don't, as if it's a standalone drug issue, usually don't end up with somebody getting in front of a judge and being ordered into treatment or ordered, in fact, into confinement. So it's still a little soft. But the one thing that we're failing to do on a large scale, Kyle, and that is to actively fund and create, of course, the treatment centers. And that's to me is a missing link. It's easy to say, to tell somebody, well, we're going to order you to go to treatment, or you go to treatment on your own. But Kyle, what if you don't have insurance? If you have a private insurance, that's great, but you still have a deductible. The cost of treatment, we know, is expensive, but I'm concerned to put that burden back on, say, the person that needs the treatment. It could devastate somebody financially, or they may not even have the means to begin treatment. And that's very concerning to me. What I'm trying to do, and I think I'll be having to make this more of a priority issue for next year's session, is to find a way where the financial, I guess, the burden of getting treatment is eased so that we can get more people in. I don't want the lack of money to stall somebody from getting the treatment they need, Kyle, because we are a mess. Washington State is a mess. When the leading cause of death in your state for under age 60 is overdoses, we got a problem.
And it is one of those issues that, I mean, penalizing somebody that is addicted, I mean, of course, finding a way to get them into treatment and working them through that process is needed. But in the end, I mean, that is like, it's treating someone who has a gunshot wound rather than going and specifically stopping the drugs from coming in, finding a way to make it so we don't get to that point. I can assume that the majority of people that are in need of these treatment or in need of these services and the penalties, they do not have the private insurance. They do not have the yes, anybody can become addicted, and it could be somebody who's just working a job and doing all those things, but chances are the majority of them are people that do not have this type of insurance and are not going to be able to pay it. And so what is that carrot? Finding a way to stop them from becoming addicted is I think a major goal. And we've seen such a drastic decrease in treatment facilities around the state. Grace Harbor, at least in Aberdeen, we used to have a number of treatment facilities that has dropped down quite a bit. We've got some MAT facilities, but it's not enough to fill the needs that unfortunately are plaguing the communities.
Absolutely, Kyle. And I, as I can't emphasize enough, next year, that needs to be more of a priority for the state legislature. However, this is such a big problem, as you mentioned, supply. I'm a state senator. I'm not a federal senator, but I will tell you that the state needs to be working with the federal government and the federal electeds, our Congress. Congress people, our district, federal district representatives, because we do need to curb the supply. We have very lax border controls, and obviously China and Mexico are mass producing fentanyl, and the southern border is by far the open, more of the easiest access to bring in. So, you know, unfortunately, with this type of drug use, demand is met with good supply, and we need to do a number of things. Slow supply down. We can't ever end it, but we need to slow it down. But we need to increase the treatment on the other end. And the state of Washington released its fiscal forecast here just a few days ago. And you know, our March forecast was a little bit pessimistic. In other words, we're expecting some slowing down of the growth. We're only predicting 2.4% growth and the upcoming biennia, and Kyle, that's recessionary. Why do I say it's recessionary? Is you have that revenue growth to 2.4, but when your inflation is at 8% or so, you start to slow down the value of your revenue projections. And we know because of the high inflation, the state is starting to lose income because the interest rates have gone up and house purchasing is slowing down. So that real estate excise tax that has contributed so much to our budgets of yesteryear, Kyle, they're going to slow. And so the state's going to have to truly wake up on an economic basis to deal with possibly quite a bit less money based on growth and prioritize where we really do need to keep Washington's, I guess, a little bit more healthier and safer. And we may have to take a look at some other programs that may not be working so well, which is the Climate Commitment Act, which is important. But Kyle, we're not raising enough money to fund the things that I think that we're going to need. So I just want to be cautious to your listeners that I will say that our Vienna is essentially recessionary at this time. Not to call a recession, it's just a fact of the money that comes in versus the cost of money and how much does it take to survive in everyday life in Washington state.
Speaking of funding, real quick, I did want to touch on it a little bit, that we got the capital budget, the proposed budget coming out of the Senate, and a lot of money coming into the 19th and the 24th legislative districts if things go forward. I mean, of course, no changes. There's going to be some additions and deletions, but $125 million for the 19th legislative district doesn't fill all the needs, but that is quite a bit of money for the region.
Absolutely, Kyle. There is some, currently we budget on money that we kind of, I guess, have already put in the forecast on a positive. And I'm happy to say the 19th looks very positive, including Grays Harbor community for funding of a number of things. I still want to be a little cautionary as there are amendments to the capital budget. I do expect that this Friday, the Senate should go to the floor and probably officially vote on what would be, you know, you could count more of how the final budget is actually going to look like. And then next week, we should follow up with, obviously, the operating budget. I'm cautiously optimistic, but Kyle, I usually don't say a whole lot until it's truly confirmed. Things change so quick around here. Let's see what happens today in committees.
19th District Senator Jeff Wilson, thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Kyle. See you next week.